My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them. And I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin.
Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. Welcome to 2025, y'all. I hope that you had a wonderful new year for anyone who had a chance to celebrate, who wanted to celebrate. I had 103 fever, y'all. I had plans to celebrate, but three fever, chest congestion, and all the things. This is the first day that I've been able to speak more than a few sentences without coughing. So, but we are looking up for 2025 already, but I am just so grateful and happy to be here. Today's episode, we are talking about three ways to make sure that you have the best relationships of your life in 2025. Especially for those of us who identify with love addiction and love avoidance. We'll be talking about that today. And also, today is an audio-only podcast. Y'all, I think I need to go back to doing the audio-only for the podcast. And then, so that way I can focus on doing videos if I'm going live or doing something else on YouTube, just to make sure that we have our weekly podcast on schedule. So many of y'all sent me that comment, like, we don't care how you do it. We just love hearing from you. And I'm like, okay, then we will do audio. And then if something changes, then my capacity is able to do more, then I will. But I'm not going to let perfectionism get in the way of us being on schedule, y'all. So y'all know that every Tuesday that there's going to be an episode coming out, which is what I would like to happen. So yeah, we're going to talk about three ways to make sure that you have the best relationships forever going forward. And so, big language, but I really do believe that the things we're going to talk about today are going to be very simple, but very important for you to take with you in every level of growth that you have for your relationships. Without further ado, let's go ahead and jump on in.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
Okay, everybody, let's talk about it. Let's talk about how to have the best 2025 and beyond when it comes to our relationships. So when it comes to healing our intimacy disorders, we are trying to break the patterns, right? We're trying to break patterns that have kept us inside of impossible relationships or made us be the people who are impossible to other people who want to love us. You already know that I just published a book called How to Pick Partners for Love Addicts. And in that book, I give you a full breakdown on what are the 40 signs of being available versus unavailable. You're going to be able to assess the different levels of availability for people. And then also, that's what I think we need to have our next episode be. Okay, great. Because I want to talk more about the different levels of availability. But you'll be able to assess what level of availability a person is in. You'll be able to say, okay, these are all the green flags for a person who's good for me. And these are all the ones that are not, so that we can distinguish between what's nitpicky and what's not good and what's dangerous, so that we make the right decision and we don't cut off people who may be really good for us, and that we don't give too many chances to people who may see really be predators. And also, there's multiple chapters on teaching us how to be available ourselves, how to be kinder to ourselves, how to assess, are we even being the people that we want to be for other people? Because I think a lot of times we can focus on, you know, that relationships are a giant menu and I get to select who gets to be in my life and what I want. And if they don't fit this, then I get to move on to the next. That might be closer to those of us who kind of struggle with intimacy. But I think for the most part, so many of us in our learning our boundaries and what we want and what is important for us, our standards are improving, our expectations are changing, right? Our boundaries with ourselves are far focused. So we're not really entertaining a lot of relationships and stuff that really don't add to our lives. But with that, it's not just one way. It's not one directional. We need to make sure that we are being the people, we're being the friends, we're being the lovers, we're being the family that we want to call in. Otherwise, we are never going to be the right match. So if we're constantly focused on what we can get from people and not also what we can give, but learning how to give in a way that we don't lose ourselves, right? Which is where so many of us kind of taper off into codependency or becoming needless and wantless and just going along with the flow. We need to find that sweet spot between being available for people, but also truly being ourselves. So that book is available for you. It's available on Amazon, How to Pick Partners for Love Addicts by Sheena Lachey. But determining those patterns is only part of it. So let's talk about three other things for you to keep in mind to have the best relationships as a recovering love addict, love avoidant, codependent, or just person who is healing from trauma, whatever feels the most empowering to you. The first thing I want you to do to keep in mind, say number one, if you're listening for me, number one. The first thing I want you to keep in mind to help you have the best relationships in 2025 and beyond is a two-parter. Stop waiting for the right time to focus on issues in your relationships and or stop waiting until the perfect scenario or person to work on any issues of growth in your relationships. What is in front of you right now is the scenario. I'm going to say it again. Stop waiting for the perfect time to focus on relationship issues, or stop waiting for the perfect scenario or person to start working on your relationship issues. One of the most common things that I have seen over my time doing this work is it is very easy to kind of push down and push back. You know, I want to work on relationships. I want to work on self-development, healing, whatever it is, but now it's not the right time. There are things that are going on at work. There are things that are going on in the world. The world is on fire. Like right now, the world is so different now than what it was when I first started years ago. It can almost be like, well, I don't even have the mental capacity to even want to focus on relationships right now. Maybe that's not the experience of everyone listening, but I'm sure it's several people. It's many people, right? You know, things may be going on in family, career, whatever it may be. And we can push off focusing on relationships and things like that because it may seem like we don't have the energy or the capacity for it. It may seem like it's not as big of a priority. Almost kind of thinking that once we get everything squared away in some areas of our life, then we will be better able, better equipped to show up for ourselves when it comes to romance and romantic relationships, that we'll have like this greater mental clarity, right? That our heart would be more happy and more open. And that is not the case. Chances are that the ways that you have learned how to put your need for emotional care, nourishment, attention, and everything on the back burner, that you'll just continually find more ways to put that last. You'll find more ways, more things to focus on, more things to put at the top of the list, because it is more comforting to focus on things that we seemingly have more control over versus romance and relationships. We are probably not very excited to potentially go back into another season of heartbreak, another season of disappointment, another season of what has been in the past, maybe confusion. So it's easier to kind of avoid that, especially if the ways that we have been distracting ourselves have been on legitimately really big and important things. But I need to remind you that you and what you need and what you want is very important today, right now. I know I said in the intro that this is related to lessons that you can bring to your next stages and the next levels of your life, because it is very, very easy to put ourselves last. It is very, very easy for us to look at the big, giant list of people, relationships, responsibilities, dreams, goals, desires that we have. And for some areas of our life, if it seems like it's out of reach, if there is a nagging feeling, whether or not we're aware of it or not, or not, that makes us feel like maybe we're not worthy of it, that makes it feel like this is something that is something that's a bit impossible for us, it's easier for us to push it off. But the more we push off taking care of ourselves and being honest about what it is that we want, the longer we go without getting the opportunities that we deserve, the things that we crave, the things that are part of our dreamscape, right? I want you to know that the time is now, that if there's anything that is on your heart, if there's desires and goals and things that you want for your relationships, if you want to have relationships that are healthier, whether or not it's you want to have better friendships, whether or not you do want to pursue healthier romantic partnerships, whether or not you do want to find your chosen family, or, you know, clean out your relationships with your current family, and you're waiting for the right time to do so, then I want to suggest that now is the time. Now is the time. And that relates to the part two, which is waiting for the right scenario. You know, you might be saying, well, you know, there's someone in the family that's very sick right now. So me working on this and wanting to focus on family stuff right now might not be the right time. Or I really want to learn how to receive love from people, but I don't have a romantic partner right now, so I can't really work on all that right now. And I believe that we all have opportunities to practice every single lesson that we want to learn with what is currently in front of us. So I'll do the second one. If you are wanting to learn how to receive love, like maybe you have learned throughout your healing and your journey that you have had a tendency to push people away, to push away opportunities and people who want to love you. And you're like, okay, I want to become a mirror and a match for that. But again, you don't have a romantic partner. A romantic partner is not the only place that you can practice learning how to receive love. Learning how to receive love from friendships, from the cashier at the grocery store who asks, do you need some help with this? And to just learn how to say yes instead of saying no. To learn how to let people ask you how you're doing and for you to answer and let you not have the right answer on the other side of it. Let them see you be vulnerable. Let them see you need some encouragement and to receive it and to learn how to say thank you. You know, you have the opportunity to practice with what's in front of you. And if you don't know how to do that, finding access to support and help right now is part of starting today. Starting wherever you are, if you have tried to work on relationship things, on self-esteem things, on confidence things, on body healing things, on love addiction things, and love avoidance things, and it has not worked out, whether or not you've been using this podcast and other things as well, this 2025 is the beginning of the year, right? It's time for you to start to invest in time and energy into people, into tools, into programs, into coaches, into therapists, into mentors, you know, whoever it may be, however it may be, to help you make that change, because you deserve to have those things that you want in your life now. My Love Addiction Recovery School is my signature coaching program where I help women make those complete changes. For those of y'all who are ready, who have gotten in your own way, whether or not it's your own trauma, your own limiting beliefs, past heartbreaks and all the other things, in the Love Addiction Recovery School, I take you through a whole process to unravel all those things, you know, because it's not as easy as just learning about dating tips or relationship tips, but looking at what has come before, what brought us to this place. And so we start off the program looking at all the things that have gotten in the way, all the roadblocks, all the weeds, all the things for you to uncover, to pull them out so that everything that we build on top of that can last and stay. So you can learn more about that by going to therecoveryschool.com, reading all about the program and what's within it, reading about the different lessons and things that you get, along with all the other bonuses and extra support around love deprivation and healing childhood trauma and mother wounds and learning how to date in a healthy way and being a healthy partner for those of us who want to be in partnerships on the other side of this as well. You can go to therecoveryschool.com or our main website, which is blackgirlsheal.org, and clicking on work with us, and I'll take you right to the program. So that is number one, to stop waiting for the right time to work on the things that you want to have. And so again, whether or not that's romantic relationships, things with your own body image and how you feel about yourself, your health, I've been talking about that as well over a few episodes ago, looking at what your goals are and knowing that you're deserving of it. And now is the right time for you to start. The second way to ensure that you have the best relationships that you can for 2025 is to start by forgiving yourself and allowing yourself the space to figure out what it is that you need and what you want, and knowing that you have enough time to figure it out, that you're exactly where you are supposed to be. One of the common things that I hear from women who are starting the recovery process is once they get some clarity and their eyes get open a little bit more and they get more access to skills and tools and they're changing their life, is they feel a whole lot of shame and regret, embarrassment, pain, longing, yearning, and just self-criticism maybe around some of the things that they have done before, some of the decisions that they made for themselves, the things that they said to themselves, the people they pushed away, the people they let in, the forgiveness they gave to other people that maybe they feel like they shouldn't have given before. And things that they say now are like, this is so clear. I can't believe I let this person say this to me, or I can't believe I let them do this to me. And you have always been doing the best you could with what you knew at the time. You were doing the best that you could with the level of self-care, self-love, self-empowerment that was given to you. You have had injustice, neglect, abuse for many of us normalized. So you didn't even know that, you know, I tell a story sometimes. I'm from Texas and I'm from Houston specifically. So Houston is crazy humid, right? Like just there's just water in the air. And people will talk about that all the time. But I was born and raised in Houston, Texas. It was everything that I knew. So I went away for school for undergrad. And, you know, I remember coming back to Houston for the summer. And when I came back to Houston, I was like, what is this? Like, why does it feel so heavy and wet? And why am I sweating like this and all that stuff? And I realized what it was is I had always grown up in this environment. You know, people would talk about humidity, people talk about things, and I just, you know, I technically knew what the definition was, but it was normal to me. So it wasn't until I went away and had exposure to a different environment, to a different setting, to where I could actually come back and appreciate, oh, this is what it is. My eyes were not open. I didn't have the ability to be attuned to that there was something different or better or a different experience. And so many of us, you grew up in a certain environment that was humid all the time. You were fully acclimated to that being your normal. And so, of course, you couldn't tell or see what was going on. And the more you beat yourself up that I couldn't see it or I didn't see it or I should have known better. No, how could you? How could you? You had no frame of reference for anything else. And if you did, you most likely had people, situations, relationships that were trying to gaslight you and keep you exactly where you were. How are you ever supposed to fight that? How and in what world could you ever come against that? You were outnumbered and overpowered. If anything, a good place to put some of that frustration is towards the people, the situations, the experiences that were unjust towards you. Instead of it turning it towards yourself and saying, how could I not know this? And I should have known better.
Hey, we hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Let's take a quick break to say thanks to this week's sponsors.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Let's learn how to start to put our emotions and feelings towards the people, the relationships, the powers that be that should have protected us and didn't. Let us tap into some justified rage, some justified anger, some justified sadness, and give back people the emotions and feelings that they gave to us that we never should have been holding. So many of us are carrying sadness and pain and regret and shame and loneliness and, you know, self-doubt that were put on our shoulders as little girls, as young women, as lovers and partners and friends of people who were irresponsible. And it's time for us to start to give those things back. And so one really great way to empower yourself is to start to forgive yourself for all the things that you didn't know, for all the ways that you didn't know how to protect yourself, to stand up for yourself, and no matter what age. I've said this before, I've worked with women of all ages, from 18 to literally women in their 60s, almost to their 70s. Every woman, every person, I mean, I've worked with people of all genders, but, you know, specifically here at Black Girls Heal, every person who has not had an opportunity to be given true, healthy love, confidence, care, compassion consistently is just susceptible to this. And it doesn't matter how many accomplishments you have. It doesn't matter if you're a healer yourself. We all have our blind spots until we have those who can help us, who can bridge that gap for us. And that's okay, because we're not supposed to do this life alone. We're not supposed to heal these intimacy disorders on our own. We may have learned how to do life on our own because of the dangerous people and situations in our life, but it doesn't mean that it's ideal. And that's probably why you're listening to this podcast right now, because you want to have connection, even if it's not with other people, but a connection to yourself that's safer, that feels secure, that feels comfortable, right? That is what we deserve. And so we're going to forgive ourselves. You're going to forgive yourself. And you're going to allow yourself the time and space to unlearn what has been given to you. You know, it took years, decades, even for you to learn how to operate in the world and how to think about yourself and to have the reactions that you do and the coping mechanisms that you do and the relationship patterns and styles that you do. So just because you have new information and just because you have revelations and just because you have, you know, a community around you that loves you and is supporting you, that's great, but it's not going to change overnight. Even with all the things that you're learning about yourself and about the world, you're still going to need time to apply it. You're still going to need time to say, okay, here are the skills that I've learned for self-love for myself. And you're going to do it and you're going to be like, oh, wow, sometimes this feels really great. And sometimes this feels really indulgent. Sometimes this feels like I am really excited about moving closer to this person. And sometimes this is going to feel like this is not the right person for me to move forward with. And then you're going to have to learn, okay, am I not wanting to move forward with this person because this is actually dangerous, or because I'm not used to true intimacy and vulnerability like I thought I wanted, and to be loved and to be seen is scary. And so now I have new levels of healing for me to get to, right? And so if you put yourself on a timer to be perfect when you have had a whole lifetime worth of learning that life and love and care and support is either unstable at best and really unsafe at its worst, you are setting yourself up for a whole lot of disappointment, because your nervous system is going to need time to unlearn all this, to learn how to feel safe. You're going to have to figure out in this new world that you're stepping into what feels good for you and what doesn't. So give yourself a break. Forgive yourself. Give yourself space and time to heal and to make the changes that you want to make, the ways that it's going to be true for you to make them. Because if you've been trying to do life and relationships in the way that other people tell you to do it, then that's going to be another pattern for you to break, to learn how to think for yourself. Have your own boundaries, have your own standards, and let them have their own opinions. And that's okay. Your relationships can look differently on both sides. Okay. And the last point, I'm actually speeding through today's episode, y'all. Even though my cough is still a little bit at bay right now, I'm definitely feeling the fatigue. So this is going to be a shorter episode, I believe. And I don't think it's going to be one of those times that I say it's shorter, but then it ends up being 50 minutes with the last point. But this last point that I want to give for y'all to make sure that you have the best relationships that you can in 2025 is just being open to changing your mind. Be open to changing your mind. Be open to more information. Be open to learning more about different perspectives and how love and relationships can look. I've definitely shared this specific point and related themes of this in the podcast before, but many of us have learned different red flags and warning signs and have intuitive feelings that are sometimes absolutely based in truth and fact and great discernment. And sometimes it's because we have been disappointed and we have learned that relationships may always work in a certain way or show up in a certain way. But that's not true. It's not actually an always situation. It is distinct people and relationships and experiences that happened before that are unfortunate, that are real, that are legitimate, but they can be the exception versus the rule, but we may have made them the rule in our life. And so when it comes to now inviting in people and relationships and places and things that are more abundant, and that are safer and more based in pleasure and love and kindness and connection, it's harder for us to let go. It's harder for us to trust because of what has happened before. I think it's really important for us to keep the information that we have, keep the wisdom that we have gleaned in life, but also be open to learning more. I'm open to the opportunity. I'm open to learning more about what love can look like. I'm open to changing my mind is something that you can say out loud to God. It's something you can say out loud to the universe. It's something you can say out loud to spirit. You know, pick whatever verbiage fits best for you. But whatever situation that feels like a limiting roadblock in your life, just to say out loud, I'm open to seeing this differently. I'm open to changing my mind. Please help me see the best case scenario for this. Please help my heart be open to the best case scenario for this and show me how I get there. Show me the next steps that I can take to get this wish and desire in my life and then see what happens. There is so much power in surrender and in letting go. And this is from someone who loves to have a plan and loves to have a procedure. You know, my programs are literally built on helping you have a plan and a procedure, right? But at the end of the day, once you've cleared out all the roadblocks and things that can get in the way, you have to just be open to receiving. You have to be open to receiving what can feel like a miracle, the exact thing that you may feel like is completely impossible and not something that you could actually experience. Moving yourself, moving your limiting beliefs, moving your self-doubt out the way and saying, I'm open to changing my mind. I'm open to seeing this differently. I'm open to being surprised. I'm open to being delighted. I'm open to being swept off my feet in a healthy way. You know, you can add the little disclaimer phrases if you need to, especially if you have had experiences before when you've been swept away and it's at the hands of a narcissist, right? Like, we're not trying to repeat those patterns, but you get the heart and the spirit of what I'm saying. To be open to goodness, but you have to make sure you do the work, starting with the first point. You have to make sure you do the work to make sure that you don't walk into what you think is a rose garden, but it's really just a bush of thorns with nothing there that's redeeming and healing for you there. Okay. All right. Yes, I need to lay down, but I am so happy to be here in 2025 with all of you. I would love to see you in the recovery school if that is the right next step for you. Again, you can go to therecoveryschool.com. We are going to Portugal this year for a healing retreat as well. And you, for those of you who've been asking questions about that, the full rundown of our Healed and Loved Woman retreat, which is where I take about 8 to 10 women on an intimate retreat to different locations where we will take a deep dive for multiple days into healing ourselves, healing our bodies. And we're going to Portugal this year. And I'm very excited. And you can see the venue. You can see the tentative agenda and everything for this November by going to blackgirlsheal.org/retreats. And at the time that I'm recording this, if you're listening to this when it goes live, you have one more day to sign up and join me for the How to Make This Work workshop. So this is for anyone who is currently, has been, or you think you might be in a future relationship with someone who might have a different attachment style or intimacy disorder than you. So, you know, someone who may be love addicted and someone who's love avoidant. Sometimes it does work, y'all. Sometimes we are not with people who are always going to leave us and abandon us. It's just two people who are currently healing and working on themselves, and they need to learn how to show up for each other in ways that makes that's considerate to what the other person needs, but also you're still doing your personal work. So in the How to Make It Work workshop, I'm going to be talking about what that looks like for both sides, and then also what to do if you do happen to be with someone who, no matter what you do, is not really going to provide changes in the relationships. You can learn more about that workshop by going to blackgirlsheal.org/make-it-work. All right, that's it, y'all. I hope y'all have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you in the next one. As always, take care of yourselves.
thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.